I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We came out of, a couple timeouts and executed, and Chris and Giannis were sharp. The team was sharp. I just thought we were a lot better, a lot more decisive. It's kind of one of the words we've been using, talking about going down the stretch. So, it was good to execute there from about the 5-minute mark to the 3 or 2 minute mark and get some separation.
That's Mike Budenholzer talking about yesterday. A nice final outstanding stretch there for the Milwaukee Bucks. Just really overall, the second half was so much better than the miserable first half, and all the freaking out that we saw on social media during the big show. Oh boy. Thank goodness they won, and thank goodness they have the number one seed now as we move forward. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, I'm Radio Joe here on the Wendy's Big Show in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, and it's always a pleasure to welcome in this guy. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our Milwaukee basketball insider from The Athletic, the one and only Eric Name. Eric, my friend, what is going on?
Oh, not much. Just enjoying a nice Friday afternoon. Yourselves?
Oh, we're having fun here.
You're doing good, my brother.
We were just having a discussion about after Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe. We know how important these guys are. After those three, who do you think are the top three Bucks that are key to getting this team to win an NBA title this year?
I think it would start with Brook Lopez. I think you might even argue that Lopez could go up above Bledsoe. And, I guess just kind of night in, night out, Brook has been so important to what they do defensively that I just think on that end, he's so huge. And then you've seen in these season games, teams are going to force the Bucks to use Brook in different ways, and they've been really comfortable posting him up. So I think Brook is maybe even number three, but he would certainly be the next one on that list. Then I think you go to George Hill. That is your insurance policy for Eric Bledsoe. If Eric Bledsoe does not have a good postseason, or he has a series where he struggled, like he has the last two postseasons against the Raptors last year and against the Celtics the year before that. Hill is the guy that fills in, that hits the shots, that runs the offense, that takes care of the basketball. And honestly, if you've watched him thus far down in Orlando, it's been a struggle. He's turned the ball over a whole lot more than he typically does. He hasn't been hitting shots. He hasn't been as aggressive as he was where he was. I mean, honestly, there's no way he's ever going to get sixth man of the year consideration because he doesn't score enough, and they really only give that award to guys that come in off the bench and fill it up. But, I mean, he was you'd struggle to find someone more valuable off the bench this year than George Hill. And then I think the last one, it's really tough for me to decide between DiVincenzo and Wesley Matthews, but I think I'm going to go Wesley Matthews because Chris Middleton mentioned it last night too, but Wesley Matthews takes that assignment. Whatever that assignment is against whatever team, it is his. If it is a big wing like Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, LeBron James, Pascal Siakam, whoever it may be, that is Wesley Matthews' job. He is the one that has to take that beating. He's the one that has to be strong, play the good defense, and, you know, rely on the other guys offensively. And because he does that, it frees up Chris Middleton to be as good as he has been offensively this year. Last year, they asked Chris to do both things. Hey, you're going to get the best wing player that the other team has defensively and offensively. We're going to need you to be our second guy. And I think you can see it wear on him a little bit in that Raptors series where he was having to defend Kawhi Leonard on one end, and then on the other end, he was getting defended by Kawhi Leonard. Like, that was a lot to take for him, and I think it just kind of threw him off for the entirety of that series. So I think this year, that's why Wesley Matthews can be so important. So if I have to pick three, it'll be Lopez, Hill, Matthews in that order.
I would say this, Eric. When you look at George Hill, I think, and I said this on the air the other day, I think George Hill can be exposed. I think Bledsoe can be exposed. But I think when you have both of these guys playing, that somehow, some way, they make each other better. I mean, they don't get exposed that much because I think, you know, one makeup can make up for the other one.
Yeah, I think they're kind of a nice, you know, thunder and lightning kind of mix if you want to think about like a backfield in the NFL where, you know, you have the one guy that's a little bit more speed, that's going to be more based on his athleticism than the other one that's based a little bit more on his skill where, you know, Bledsoe, he is one of the quickest point guards in the league. He's one of the strongest point guards in the league, but he can't shoot it that well. So it, the nights where you really need to get him going downhill, you really need him to get to the rack, he can handle that. But, you know, if there's a night where you really need to spread the floor, you really need to be able to get Giannis space, then you move over to George Hill and say, all right, George, take us home tonight. Like, this is going to be your show. And there you go. He's going to have that nearly 50% three-point shooting that he had this year. He's going to be able to knock down those shots and be able to take care of the basketball. And the reason why I think it's possible is because both are so good defensively. Like, right. A lot of times in the NBA, when, you know, you're talking about bringing up someone off the bench, it looks like an offense-only guy. Like, if you think about the Clippers and Lou Williams, his big thing is, all right, yeah, I can come in and get some buckets, but he's also going to concede a bunch of buckets on the other end. The nice thing with Hill and Bledsoe is that they're both really good defensively, so that you really are kind of picking and choosing what offensive need you have for that night, and then you're picking which one you want to fill it.
Name, you've been the best at two people, that you're a whisperer.
A what?
Coach Bud, a whisperer, you know, like... What's you know, like a one? Whisperer, like you know that person. Like you can talk to them without even knowing and you know what they're saying. And you always write about these two people. That's okay. Giannis and Coach Bud, okay? Tell me what their mentality is, in your opinion, going into these last stretch of games. You got the number one seed. It's all wrapped up. I mean, are they thinking about fresh legs? Are you thinking about maybe turnovers, defending the three that we've seen them? A lot of teams have been shooting a lot of threes against them, Eric, and a lot of people are concerned about that. Tell me what these two guys, what their mentality is going to these last two games,
Yeah, I think it was kind of fun this week. Maybe the Bucks fans didn't find it fun, but, you know, at halftime of that Nets game, I tweeted out something to the effect of, like, the Bucks are going to have to decide whether or not they want to win this game. And a bunch of Bucks fans were like, what do you mean you have to decide whether or not to win this game? Like, go get the number one seed. And I told them, like, hey, you're going to see what the Bucks want to do here when they come off in the half. And sure enough, they come off in the second half, Giannis and Chris are on the bench, and it became very obvious that they didn't want to win that game. Not to say that they didn't want to win it, but their goal in the end wasn't, hey, we need to get a win today. It was, hey, we need to get our guys right and we need to get our minutes right. And I think that's the big thing we've seen with Bud throughout all of this is that he came into this with a plan. He was going to get his guys ready, try to get them to the peak of their powers by the start of the first playoff game. They didn't care about, oh, you know, you're playing the Rockets, that's a good test for you. Oh, you're playing the Celtics, that's the team that you need to beat, the Raptors, the Heat, whoever it is. That's not necessarily their concern. They want to try to be playing their best basketball, so they're going to keep trying to get right, and they're going to keep working towards that. but it was always with a long view in mind. It was never, this is the night, hey, once we clinch, then we're going to start resting guys. I don't think you're going to see that. I think they clinched the one seed last night, and I think their plan was going to stay the same, whether they clinched that 2 games in, whether they clinched that 3 games in, 7 games in, whatever it was. It was always going to be the plan that this is how they're going to do it, and Bud has told us that from the beginning, that hey, we're worried about being at the peak of our powers once we get to that point. So I think that's the big thing. And, you know, how that affects Giannis is we've seen Giannis, I mean, I'm trying to think how many years that you have to go back on this. Probably 4 years now, like, since he's been the man in Milwaukee. At the start of every season, he's going to have a bunch of silly fouls where he reaches too much, and he's going to get a bunch of fouls where he's trying to do too much. Like, that. Those are just the facts. That's how Giannis works year over year. And the only way for him to get out of it is to essentially play his way out of it. So that's another reason why I don't think you're going to see the Bucks really rest a ton with these guys in the next little while, because they know that that first-round series is going to be a joke, and they can win that in 4 games, maybe 5. So they're not worried about that. So, I mean, they do have a little bit more time to play with, but I think they know, and Giannis knows, that he needs to get out of the super excited, I just want to be on the floor again, silly fouls, trying to do too much, to a spot where he feels really comfortable and he can really play. And I think if you look at Giannis's seasons from the last 2 years, I would say probably right around the 20-30 game mark is really where he starts to feel super comfortable. And obviously this is not ideal for that, because you're going to have the 8 seeding games and then 4 games against a, you know, an inferior opponent in the first round. So you're going to have about 12 games. So he knows he needs to reach that peak a little bit earlier than he normally does. So I think you're going to see him go hard. You're going to see him probably work through some foul trouble. We saw it again last night. But eventually he's going to find that rhythm and try to get to the spot where he feels really comfortable, which typically takes, you know, the first month and a half of the season. So I think, I don't want to say it's like a race against time or anything, because he's still spectacular even when he is in foul trouble. I think he's in the games that he's playing now, it's 36, 36, 33. So he's just fine, but he can be even better. And I think that's really the thing that both him and Bud are focused on, is how do you get him to that spot where he's playing really great basketball.
Well, the other thing too is, and I want to piggyback off of that with Giannis, I mean, to me, at least, Eric, I think now's the time for him to just continue to work on that three-point shot. I mean, and he's got games to do it here where it's really not going to hurt him now. The Bucks have nothing to lose. I mean, would you agree that Giannis should be taking some more threes just to get comfortable? And how much could that actually impact in the playoffs? Because overall this season, he has been an improved three-point shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. You look at last night, he's 13 for 13 on twos. He missed 4 threes. Like, he's able to get to where he wants, and I think that's been a priority with him and Bud throughout this whole season. And you know, it's just kind of funny to watch this unfold and then watch the rest of the league unfold, because Ben Simmons takes 2 threes in the scrimmage, and then the whole world freaks out, and oh my gosh, Ben Simmons can shoot now. Giannis takes 5 threes per game. 5 threes per game this season. And yet it's, is he going to be able to shoot those? You know, is he going to be willing to shoot those come playoff time? What are you talking about? Like, he's trained for this the entire season. Like, granted, he is just a 30% three-point shooter. I'm not trying to say that he's, you know, a knockdown shooter or anything at this point, but he's been working on that, and that's been a part of their rhythm this entire season. So I don't know if they'll push it even further where you see him get up into that 6 or 7 range per game here in these final four, but there's no doubt that they're going to keep having him shoot it. They're going to keep having him try to get comfortable with it, because I think one of the advantages of kind of how they're playing here is you're in the same 3 gyms, and once we get to the playoffs, you're going to be in the same 2 gyms. And if you can get comfortable with the backdrop, if you can get comfortable with kind of the environment and how your shot feels in this place, I think there's a real opportunity that you can get into a really strong rhythm. And I think we've already seen some of the teams do that. We've seen some of the players do that. And, you know, Kyle Korver, I think the league's probably the foremost expert in shooting says this is a shooting gym. So if that's going to be the case,
Kyle Korver.
Yeah, then you're going to need Giannis to keep feeling comfortable from three.
Yeah. Name, how do we get Korver going? I mean, just didn't have the year that I thought he would with him. Now is the time we need to see something from Kyle Korver.
Yeah, I think if you talk to some people within the organization, if they could use Kyle Korver for the minutes that they tried to use Nikola Mirotic in last year's Eastern Conference Finals, I think
that's a great
the entirety of the front office, there's probably 80% of them that would say, if we had Kyle Korver last year, we're in the NBA Finals. The thing that you have to rely on is just that he's been such a great shooter his whole career. I know talking to Giannis throughout the year, I mean, it was a month into the season, I think. I was talking to him after they played the Jazz one time, and he was just marveling at, he's like, Eric, it doesn't matter where I throw him the ball, when I throw him the ball, his feet are ready and the shot's going up. And that was a month into the year, and he was telling me, he's like, once I get to know him and know how he moves, it's just going to become that much easier. And I think you've seen them build that. Obviously, we haven't seen Korver hit the shots that he needs to here in the seeding games, but I think they're comfortable enough with each other that there's a lot of faith that if they run the sets that they like to run, if they get him on the floor in those minutes with Giannis, that he can make an impact come the postseason.
He is Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider. You can check out all of his work at The Athletic and can follow him on Twitter as well. Eric_Name. That's NEHM, not NAME. Just so we're all aware, because I know Eric deals with that all the time, and I think he'll be dealing with that for the rest of his life. Eric, we always appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, there he is. Eric Name joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. On the other side, we will switch gears. We'll talk a little Packer football because you know what? We've learned some things about Brian Gutekunst. I think we have a sample size now of Goody. So do you trust the man? Wendy's Big Show continues right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.